ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Parshachadishatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Bring from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 38 Verse 23 Kim cha grajo mavana tam yaduttamaha. Spayan paris fajja grihitam anjalau. Griham pravesh apta samasta satkritam. Samprakshate kam sakritam sva bandushu. Kimcha, furthermore, Agraja, his elder brother, Ma, me, Avanatam, who am standing with head bowed, Yadu Uttama, the most exalted of the Yadus, Smayan, smiling, Parisvajja, embracing, Grahitam, taken hold of Anjalo by my joined palms and Graham, his house, Pravesya, bringing into Apta, who will have received Samasta, all Satkritam, signs of respect. Samprakshate, he will inquire. Kamsa, by Kamsa, Kritam, what has been done? Svabandushu, to his family members. Translation. Then Lord Krishna's elder brother, the foremost of the Yadus, will grasp my joined hands while I am still standing with my head bowed, and after embracing me, he will take me to his house. There he will honor me with all items of ritual welcome and inquire from me about how Kamsa has been treating his family members. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, while the son of Svafalka, traveling on the road, thus meditated deeply on Krishna, he reached Gokul as the sun was beginning to set. Purport, Sridhar Swami comments that although Akura did not even notice the road, being deeply absorbed in meditation on Krishna, he still reached Gokul on his chariot. In the cowherd pasture, Akura saw the footprints of those feet whose pure dust the rulers of all the planets in the universe hold on their crowns. Those footprints of the Lord, distinguished by such marks as the lotus, barley corn, and elephant goad, made the ground wonderfully beautiful. Increasingly agitated by ecstasy at seeing the Lord's footprints, his bodily hair standing on end because of his pure love and his eyes filled with tears, Akura jumped down from his chariot and began rolling about among those footprints, exclaiming, "Ah, this is the dust from my master's feet." The very goal of life for all embodied beings is this ecstasy, which occurs experienced when, upon receiving Kamsa's order, he put aside all pride, fear, lamentation, absorbed himself in seeing, hearing, and describing the things that reminded him of Lord Krishna. Purport. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti explains that Akura gave up fear by openly showing his love and reverence for Krishna, even though he or his family might have been punished by the angry Kamsa. Akura gave up his pride in being an aristocratic member of society and worshiped the cowherd residents of the simple village of Vrindavan. And he gave up lamenting for his housewife and family, which are in danger because of King Kamsa. Giving up all these things, he rolled in the dust of the lotus feet of God. So, after offering his prayers, we see that Akura finally saw the footprints of Krishna as he entered into the area of Gokul. So he, in his prayers, he obviously recognized Krishna as the Supreme Lord. At the same time, Krishna was his relative. And also, he expected that the Lord would show affection to him in spite of the fact that Kamsa had sent him. And obviously, since he knows he's the Lord and the Lord is all knowledgeable, Krishna would know that Kamsa had sent him to bring him to Mathura in order that he could kill him. So, still, Akura was visualizing that when Krishna saw him, he wouldn't think of him as an enemy or supporter of Kamsa, but he would think of him as the devotee, and then he would embrace him and speak to him nicely, receive him nicely, etc. And then finally, in this verse here, he also recollects Balaram, and how Balaram would also embrace him and take him to his house and ask him questions about his relatives. So in other words, he expects Krishna and Balaram not to hold any hatred towards Akura, but rather treat him nicely because he was actually a devotee of the Lord. And this is actually true. The Lord knows everything, so though he knows that Kamsa has sent him to bring him to Mathura to kill him, he also knows that Akura is a great devotee, and he's one of the Yadus, and he has a favorable rasa to Krishna. He's not an enemy like Kamsa. Of course, we could say that Kamsa is also a relative of Krishna, like uncle or whatever, but he's not at all favorable. He's actually a demon. But the other relatives, the Yadus, were by and large the great devotees. So therefore, he expects that Akura expects Krishna to give him a kind welcome. And this is true because the Lord is affectionate towards his devotees. And he may ignore all other circumstances that the devotee is in and understand that his real nature as a devotee, and therefore respond to that rather than to the externals of whatever he's doing at the moment. Akura is actually quite justified in thinking that Krishna would not hold anything against him and would welcome him very nicely. And that's exactly what Krishna did. He never thought of treating him badly or anything like that, as we will see later. So he offered his prayers in this way, expecting the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And then he saw the footprints of Krishna as he was entering into Gokul. And when he saw those footprints, then he developed ecstatic symptoms. So in the Nectar Devotion, where it describes the elements of rasa, then it describes that the Lord is there, and of course Krishna is Supreme Lord, and the devotee is there, that's Akura, and this is the first element for rasa. That's called the vibhava. We need the devotee, and we need the Supreme Lord, and therefore we can have a relationship established, and we can get various elements of rasa. So these are two elements. But as well as the subject itself, Krishna, who's not personally present at the moment, there are various stimuli to invoke that rasa. So these are called the udipana, or stimulants for love. So there's various stimulants, like the very form of Krishna, his age, his peacock feather, various things. And his flute, of course, his buffalo horn, his clothing, his yellow dhoti, his ornaments, all these things stimulate love for Krishna when the devotee sees them or thinks of them. So one of the elements is the footprints of the Lord. So here we see how the footprints act as a stimulus for the love. Of course, we see that also in the example of the gopis. When the gopis see Krishna's footprints, and then they develop various symptoms of ecstasy. Or when the Pulinda women see those footprints, and then they also develop ecstasy. So when the cowherd people were searching for Krishna when he went to the Kaliya lake and they saw his footprints, they also got some ecstasy in relation to Krishna. So according to the circumstance and according to the mood of the particular person, their sthayi bhava will be stimulated, and then consequently various symptoms will manifest, and this will produce rasa. So here, on seeing those footprints of Krishna, not just seeing Krishna, but just seeing his footprints, which you could recognize by the symbols on them, then you develop sattvika bhavas, which indicate that he was a very elevated devotee. Because in sadhana bhakti, one does not develop sattvika bhavas. In bhava and prema, these develop. So immediately on seeing those footprints, then his hair stood on end, and he jumped down from his chariot. He began crying. His eyes were filled with tears. He was rolling on the ground, etc. He was ecstatic because of seeing those footprints. In other words, he responded very intensely to the stimuli, that is, the footprints, and began to have ecstatic symptoms, which means internal disturbance because of the emotion evoked by the udipana. Then internally he got greatly affected, and this affected his life airs, and this caused symptoms like tears. In this way, we can understand that Akura was actually an exalted devotee, because merely on seeing footprints, then he developed ecstatic symptoms. And he was able to recognize those footprints as well. Of course, in terms of significance, those footprints are, they have certain symbols on them, like umbrella, or elephant goad, thunderbolt, or fish, or whatever, in a certain pattern. And by seeing the footprints with those particular signs on it, then one can understand, this is the Lord's footprints rather than anyone else's footprints. Sometimes they'd ask, well, the footprints are there, but generally if the footprints are in the sand, and then after some time they just disappear again and you can't see anything. But the nature of Vrindavan is such that even the sand is spiritual, so, and also gets ecstatic symptoms on getting the touch of Krishna's feet. So it preserves all of these footprints intact with all the details, so that one could distinguish the different lines on his footprints even. So even after some time, the footprints remain, and people are able to recognize those footprints. So therefore, he recognized those footprints because of the particular signs on them. And, of course, any footprint of the Lord, whether it's Vishnu or any of the form of the Lord, is exalted, being related to the Supreme Lord, and therefore worshipable by everybody in the universe, including all the devatas and the higher persons like the sages and Brahma, etc. and Shiva and whatever, all the footprints of the Lord are always worshipable. Krishna's footprints, of course, are very special. Of course, Vishnu's footprints are special, but then Krishna's footprints are even more special, so they got particular auspicious symbols on them which Vishnus don't have. And therefore, in the different scriptures, it's described how his footprints have, I think, 19 symbols on them or something like that, his left and his right foot, a very distinguishing symbols, whereas Vishnu has maybe 4 or 5 symbols on his feet. So Krishna's feet are particularly distinguishable from any form of the Lord. So we know this is Krishna's footprint, not just anyone's footprint. So, therefore, if anyone sees those footprints, including the devatas, they also understand special nature of Krishna. He is different from all of us. We see the Brahma understood that Krishna is different from everybody else, even the forms of Vishnu and avatar forms, etc. The various personalities within the universe appreciate the special nature of Krishna, and they all are willing to, or spontaneously, they fall at those footprints and worship them as great treasures. And they stick the dust on their heads. So in this way, they indicate their great respect and reverence for Krishna, understanding him to be the highest person. He, of course, Supreme Lord. People of Vrindavan, of course, also respect Krishna's footprints, but it's quite different because they don't see him as Supreme Lord at all. They simply aren't seeing his footprints. They recognize him as their shelter, etc., and as one of their own people. It generates their great affection. When Akura and others see it, they understand him as Supreme Lord. Of course, they have affection for the Supreme Lord, but they understand him as Supreme Lord, and Krishna is Supreme Lord, higher than all the devatas, etc. So, their appreciation and their ecstasy is there, but a little bit different from that of the people of Vrindavan or for the gopis, for instance. Yeah? So when the gopis see the footprints, then they say, these are Krishna's footprints. And then they're reminded of their relationship with Krishna in the rasa dance, etc. And they're not thinking, he's Supreme Lord, whatever like that. They only want to meet Krishna, that's all. Not seeing him as Supreme Lord. But we see that Akura and others, they appreciate Krishna's relationship with them, but also they see him as Supreme Lord, and they give great respect to him. So therefore we find he talks about the devatas bowing down to those feet and taking the dust of his lotus feet on their heads, etc., like this, out of great respect. Why? Because he's Supreme Lord. We see in the prayers of Akura, he has great attraction and affection for Krishna, as shown in the later verses, how Krishna will embrace him and whatever like that, so he understands the Lord is very affectionate. At the same time, the first verses indicate his recognition of Krishna as the supreme power, untouched by material nature, creator of the material world, etc. He has two emotions here, great respect and also affection. So that will distinguish him from the people of Vrindavan. Footprints is an introduction to actually seeing Krishna and Balaram. In one sense, his footprints are non-different from the Lord, like the name is non-different. Nevertheless, in chanting the name, eventually one gets to see the Lord or whatever. So we see various divinities or whatever, or we hear the flute sound, etc., to stimulate the love. And eventually, one gets the privilege of actually seeing the Supreme Lord by his mercy. So that's the case also here with Akura. So eventually, we see that he gets to see the Lord, and that's described in the next verses here, how Krishna is there in the forest with with Balaram, etc. And according to his expectation, Krishna acts the same way. He welcomes him very, very nicely.
Of course, we also understand that not only he's omniscient, but Narada Muni had also come and explained the whole future, that he would have to go to Mathura, etc. So Krishna also understands his plan, Akura's plan, etc., but that he would take him from there. But he welcomes him as part of the plan for the future manifestation of pastimes in Mathura and Dwarka. And he recognizes Akura as a great devotee, and therefore he welcomes him with great affection and takes him to the house, etc. And then Akura speaks to Nanda Maharaj. Yeah, well, a knowledge most likely from Vasudeva or someone like that, that he was actually Supreme Lord and Vasudeva had taken the child and whatever, and Vasudeva obviously knew he was the Supreme Lord because he had seen him come out with four arms, etc. Devaki had also been there and understood this also. So it was no longer a secret in one sense because Narada Muni had told Kamsa that Krishna is in Vrindavan or whatever like this, so therefore Vasudeva didn't have to keep any secret anymore, so therefore he probably got knowledge about that through Vasudeva, although it's not directly stated.
But he didn't know that he cannot, because normally in the material world we are distinguishing between Krishna and Vishnu, but there Akura, he doesn't distinguish it. Now he is thinking that this Krishna and Vishnu the same.
Well, the people of the Yadus in Mathura and Dwarka also have a relationship with Krishna, and it's a very special relationship because it's Krishna as distinct from Vishnu, even though he has elements of Vishnu in him and they see him as Supreme Lord. Still, even the Mathura and Dwarka forms are special, and they manifest qualities superior to those of the other forms of the Lord. In other words, there's still some sweetness there. In other words, the form of Krishna is still particularly sweet. Not exactly the same as Gokul, but nevertheless, it's still different from that of Vaikuntha or anywhere else, Ramchandra anywhere else. So that's why, for instance, in Brihad Bhagavatam, it describes that Gopu Kumara goes from one place to another, then he goes to Vaikuntha, then he goes to Ayodhya, and then he understands he's sweeter than Vishnu, because like him but sweeter, and then he goes to Dwarka, and then he understands, oh, it's Krishna, so he's sweeter still. So he's Dwarka Krishna is still distinguished from the other forms of the Lord, but then Vrindavan Krishna is even sweeter. So there is some distinction between the other forms, and even Dwarka and Mathura Krishna, he's still superior there to the other forms of the Lord. In spite of the fact that they see him as Supreme Lord, etc.
But when Goku Kumar went to Dwarka, he saw the same Krishna, but a little bit, he's not able to approach Krishna directly, he's frozen.
Yeah, well, he was told to do that, he was instructed to do that, and that was the arrangement that was given to him. So he followed that order, and then eventually, of course, the whole is obviously instructive to show that he wasn't satisfied with that also, ultimately. So then ultimately, the highest thing was Goku.
So then, the question is, again, how he got this Goku, got his liberation that he wants to make all of this Goku Krishna?
Well, that's because when he was first met his guru, who was actually the Supreme Lord, his Supreme Lord, the guru gave him a Krishna mantra. Which describes Vrindavan Krishna. So he's talking about Madana Gopal and this and that and Gopi Jana Vallabha, etc. So therefore it's the Vrindavan Krishna, and he was chanting this mantra. And therefore when he saw these other forms, it was not quite the same Krishna.
So this mantra reveals all the forms.
Gokul Krishna.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.